You know how it is when you share a meal with somebody. If you can't have a meal with someone, it feels like you're divided. Someone wonders, am I welcome in the house or home of another? Until the person opens the door and says, come, sit down, you're welcome, and join with me in this meal. The people of Israel knew from that time on, they were close to God, because he opened the door, invited them into his presence, and they ascended the mountain of the Lord on Sinai, and there they dined with God in the fellowship meal, invited by the mediator, sealed by blood, the fellowship meal, one with God. How do we know that we have the same closeness? There was one who invited his disciples as he prepared to drink the cup that we could not drink. Jesus, as we read, spoke to his disciples before he would offer up that fellowship sacrifice and that sacrifice for sin. He spoke of the blood of the covenant. He invited them to sit at the table with them, letting us know we are at peace with God. And we go from Mount Sinai to his table.
This message is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona, April 2nd, 2026, Exodus 24.
There's a recent production that came out of The Count of Monte Cristo, and it depicts this man who's thrown into a prison on an island off of France, and he's just left there, falsely accused, slandered, and forgotten, left there to die. As he languishes in the prison, 10 years pass, and he has no idea how much time is going by, but he's given up. He's begun to despair, and the movie depicts him as refusing to eat his food because he's lost all hope. And so many days go by where he's not taking in any food. But then suddenly he hears the sound of a little bit of scraping in the cell next to him, and suddenly the wall has a stone that begins to push out, and one of his prison mates, who after 10 years of digging finally reached his cell, emerges through. And he and his prison mate suddenly quickly make friendship. The friendship comes to light that this man hasn't been eating food, and so his newfound friend tells him, you're my guest. It would be rude of you if you didn't eat some of the food I'm giving you. Of course, that food didn't just express friendship. It certainly established that. But it was a friend not just giving sustenance and strength to someone who was bound to die, but giving him hope and giving him a pathway to live and something to live for. He not only had food, he ate it with a friend. There's a story in Scripture where God invites his people to eat. And this meal is one where he brings them out of slavery, and he brings them to be his own, and he brings them from despair and no hope to suddenly having a newfound companion, their God, who is willing to commune with them. We read of that in Exodus 24. And as we read and consider that this evening, we see how God invites us to ascend the mountain of the Lord. And we see that as we go from Sinai to his table. It says, the Lord said to Moses, come to the Lord, you and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders of Israel. God is inviting them to approach his presence. These are the people, remember, who had been slaves living in the land of Egypt. The people of Israel and their elders had spent so much time separate from God, wondering, does God still notice? Is there still hope? As they cried out to the Lord for hundreds of years. And here, like one breaking through the darkness, is the word of God speaking through Moses, his servant, and saying, approach me. Come to worship me. But notice he says, you are to worship at a distance. Moses is to approach the Lord, but the others must not come near, and the people may not come up with him. At first, this might seem kind of strange that God's inviting them near, but he doesn't let them near. There has to be a mediator, someone who's going to carry out the connection between God and his forsaken, lost people. And Moses is the man who's going to step in between. When Moses went out and told the people all the Lord's words and laws, They responded with one voice, "Everything the Lord has said, we will do." The invitation has been established. God's revealed his word. He's invited the people to hear his commands. It says his words and laws. Perhaps this means the 10 words or 10 commandments and his laws, the regulations for how they are to worship him. And the people say, yes, we will do this. Some comment that this is perhaps understated by a lot of people as they look at the Old Testament. This is, in fact, the beginning of God's relationship with his people. This is the invitation God has for them to be close to him and to worship him. This is the start of the rest of the entire Old Testament worship system, the sacrifices, the commands, the regulations, the temple worship, the altars, the priesthood, all of it begins here. As God says, come close to me and worship. Moses got up early the next morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain. And then he set up 12 stone pillars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. These pillars are a remembrance, so when they would see them, they would know this symbolizes God's people. But right next to the 12 pillars was the place they could worship God, the altar. Then he sent young Israelite men, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls and fellowship offerings to the Lord. Now that the priesthood wasn't yet established, so these men served as the initial priests. We have two kinds of offerings taking place, burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. God is saying, come near. But when you come near, let's first establish this. A burnt offering was meant to cover sin. Fellowship offerings were received with thanksgiving and participated by the priest and those offering it up as they took a meal, offering the portion of the fat and the liver and kidneys offered up to God, but the meat shared between the priest and the people bringing the meal. It was sometimes called a fellowship offering because it partakes in fellowship together. See what God is doing here? God is bringing his people near that they might dine with him. But before they could do that, Moses took half of the blood and put it in bowls, and the other half he splashed against the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant, read it to the people, and they said, "We will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey." God says, "Come near to me and worship." And the people respond, "Yes, we will." The meal is soon to take place. As they approach Sinai, that mountain which shook with the voice of God and was consumed by fire, the people now dare to approach their God. Moses then took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, "This is the blood of the covenant the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Blood must be shed. Along with the sacrifice for sin and along with the fellowship offering was the shedding of blood. Blood that was sprinkled even on the people to help them remember this is how this covenant stands by the shedding of blood. We approach God and we can have communion with God through the blood that was shed. How do we dare to come before God? Unlike the people of Israel, we don't have Moses and the Lord directly telling us to come near, do we? We don't have Mount Sinai where we can see that mount shaking with thunder and the fearsome sight of the people standing before God and then him inviting us to approach. And yet we know what it's like, just like the Israelites, to be born into a world where we feel separate from God, where the world feels like we are trembling under Sinai. And the law of God comes thundering down and we wonder, can I be close with my God? Can I approach him in any way? Well, the people here soon found out they could approach God with the fellowship offering, with the blood offering, with the covenant sprinkled and sealed by blood, with the mediator stepping between them and God and inviting them to approach. We read something incredible. You're not supposed to stand in the presence of a holy God. You can go back to Eden and see that when they were cast from God's presence in the garden, no one could see God and live. How could they feel close to God if this separation remained? So God gave them a glimpse. In a way it describes here, ever so briefly, but something that changes our view of his covenant with his people. The fellowship offering where you eat the meal was not just eaten with the people, the representative of the 70 elders of Israel and Moses and his brother and sons. No, it was something where God joined with them. Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and the 70 elders of Israel went up. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? The one who comes with a mediator, invited with a covenant, sealed with blood and with sacrifice and with fellowship offerings expressed. It says, they went up and saw the God of Israel. No one can see God and live. But God decided in this occurrence, in some way, that his divine presence and glory would be seen among his people. They saw the God of Israel. Under his feet was something shining bright blue, bright as the sky. But God did not raise his hand against these leaders of the Israelites. They saw God. They ate and they drank in God's presence. You know how it is when you share a meal with somebody. Sometimes it might feel like we are that prisoner locked in that cell when maybe there's a strife or a division. If you can't have a meal with someone, it feels like you're divided. You probably witness those who in the school cafeteria wonder as they step in, who can I eat my food with? Who's going to be the bully? Who's going to be on my side? And they grow in anxiety and wonder, who can I dine with? Or maybe someone wonders, am I welcome in the house or home of another? Until the person opens the door and says, come, sit down. You're welcome, and join with me in this meal. The people of Israel knew from that time on they were close to God because he opened the door, invited them into his presence, and they ascended the mountain of the Lord on Sinai, and there they dined with God in the fellowship meal, invited by the mediator, sealed by blood, the fellowship meal, one with God. How do we know that we have the same closeness? There was one who invited his disciples as he prepared to drink the cup that we could not drink. Jesus, as we read, spoke to his disciples before he would offer up that fellowship sacrifice and that sacrifice for sin. He spoke of the blood of the covenant. He invited them to sit at the table with them. And there, with an invitation, with the mediator, they saw God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and the Father are one. And the Holy Son of God said to his disciples as they were gathered around, take and eat my body, my blood. Did Israel eat of the sacrifice and the sacrificial animal in the fellowship offering? Yes. Did they eat in the presence of God? Yes. Did they eat to reflect peace with God? Yes. Jesus gave the covenant blood and said, this is the blood of the covenant for you. Take and drink for the forgiveness of sins. The new covenant. We have an invitation. We have a mediator between us and God. And we join in that fellowship expression of being one with God as we partake of Jesus' body and blood. And we are told that this is the blood of the covenant, which is ours, sealing the price, letting us know we are at peace with God. And we go from Mount Sinai to his table, and along with all the people of God, invited by his grace, we stand and we dine in the presence of our God and at his table because he has made us one. He did this by himself offering up that sacrifice for sin and becoming himself the fellowship sacrifice which we receive and partake. The new covenant. He drank the cup that we could not drink, the cup of suffering, so we might drink this cup of fellowship. Amen.